Friday Mid Love for David, first of all, and Alanis Morissette, you learn Jagged Little Pill for Fiona. 40 minutes past 8, the Full English Breakfast Show. Order! Order! Or should that be last orders? Now, the House of Commons is to stop serving alcohol in its premises after tougher COVID restrictions were announced across the UK. Speaker Sir Lindsay Hoyle said the ban would begin tomorrow and apply to all catering outlets, whether food is served or not. He said he had ordered the move as some MPs represent constituencies where pubs have now been closed. And the drinks ban, he said, would last for the foreseeable future. Wonder if there'd be any resignations. Half of them are only in there for that. A House of Commons spokeswoman said 6 out of its 10 catering outlets that are currently open serve alcohol and would be affected by the ban. A ban on serving alcohol at all Commons premises after 10 p.m. on Saturday is already on place, while most of its bars remain shut. The curfew was announced in September, even though Parliament's workplace canteens are legally exempt from England's 10 o'clock closing time. Now, the Speaker's announcement came after tougher Tier 2 restrictions were announced for London to start on Saturday. Under this high alert level, pubs and restaurants will remain open, but households will be banned from mixing socially there or anywhere indoors. So there'll be flocks of MPs rushing out of the House of Commons to the nearest bar.
Well, they did.
Outside,
I thought in
Parliament.
Westminster they were staying open, weren't they? Don't you remember? They said that at
yeah.
the beginning, that they
shut
were still
now.
Able to have a pint.
It's quite interesting looking at the Parliament Channel to see which MPs might have had a glass or two, you know, with their lunch.
Mm. Well, so if the virus, what is it, 9 o'clock, the curfew, so that, is that when
in,
the virus...
In France?
Yes, yeah, so that's when the virus comes out. So couldn't they make, like, Friday and Saturday nights an exception? I mean, couldn't they...
Well, you think the virus takes the Friday and Saturdays off?
Well, it could, seeing as it's only dangerous between 9 and 6 o'clock, as far as I can understand.
I think Sir Edward Lee looks like he might enjoy a glass or two of claret, judging by his complexion on the back benches of the Conservative Party. The virus just doesn't stop, does it?
I know, that's why I don't understand why it's 9 to 6 o'clock, or why, like, the supermarkets and other places that are still...
It's clutching at straws, really, isn't it? I mean, the whole thing that the virus doesn't circulate during daylight hours is just ridiculous. Anyway, back to the medication, or medicine, if you want. And Mike would like to hear the Thompson Twins. Doctor, doctor. As far as the social distancing in supermarkets goes, I haven't noticed a great deal of that going on. People are just barging each other out of the way as usual.
No, and it's also it's wearing the mask correctly that shocks me. The number of people that have it underneath
the
their
nose.
Yeah,
and
then other people
that
systematically take it off when they're speaking to you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, put it down. Anyway, say lovey. Today's pop quiz, question number one. How old was Cher when I Got You Babe reached number one on the Billboard Top 100?
18.
Nearly.
17.
No.
19.
No,
19. 21.
She was 19.
I said 19.
You didn't.
Time around.
No, yes, that was your third answer. Not counting.
Question
number two.
Out.
What hit did Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers...
Islands in the Stream.
Yeah. Yes. Who was it written by then? I'll change my question.
Neil Diamond.
No.
One of the Bee Gees.
Well, yes, by the Bee Gees. Okay, I'll give you that. And finally, to
probably
do your theme of medicine and the human body, which artist sang the hit song Rock Your Body?
It's not George McRae, is it? Because that's Rock Your Baby. Rock Your Body.
More of a recent one.
Yeah, is it Robbie?
No. It was Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you're more interested, you might want to know that it was on this day in 1992 that a topless woman was found for the first time in the Where's Wally puzzle.
I never knew that.
There you go. It was on this day in 1793 that the Queen of France, Marie Antoinette, was guillotined. And
get
also
cake.
On this day in 1920, the first commercial radio license was given to a radio station in Pittsburgh. And birthdays today include the inventor of lawn tennis, born on this day in 1833, Major Walter Clopton Wingfield, who was the British tennis pioneer and inventor of modern lawn tennis. And Oscar Wilde, Irish poet and playwright, who of course said the only good thing to do with good advice is pass it on, as it's never any use to oneself.
There's only one thing worse than being talked about, not being talked about. Or I can resist everything except temptation.
Riviera Radio. Business.
HPD, ladies and gentlemen, heat hits on Friday.
Hey, good morning. I'm in the house and I'm back with you once again.
But you're skiving off next week.
I'm not sure, listen, it's half term next week, although we're in lockdown. We're in heightened lockdown where we live.
Which won't make any difference.
It won't make any difference.
Well, you know, you'd just be twiddling your thumbs, you know, and getting under Mrs. Potts's feet, so it's best you get into your office and do some work.
Well, you know, I'm always strategising, always thinking, regardless of when I'm in the office or not.
Have you got a manhole?
A manhole?
Or a man cave?
Oh, I see. It's at the top of the house, actually, which is okay. It's kind of nice. It's a nice sort of getaway. Although a couple of weeks ago, I went up to work when the children were particularly annoying, and then I came down and Mrs. Potts saw that I had a cushion mark on my face from where I had a little snooze on the sofa. Did not go down very well.
And just be careful if you get on the Dom Pom being at the top of the house, because we don't want any accidents, do we, you know, afterwards.
There's not much Dom Pom in the house, I can tell you that.
Really? I bet you got some stashed away for a special occasion.
Come on.
Markets a bit lower yesterday. Losses narrowed in Wall Street after President Trump raised the bar on the fiscal stimulus package, but seems unlikely that Democrats are going to bite before the election, doesn't it?
Don't think it's going to happen before the election, so let's wait to see what the American people decide, and that will determine the level of fiscal stimulus. As I've been saying for some time, it's certainly on the agenda, will come through. Size and shape of that will be determined, I think, by the next administration. Equities around the world certainly under pressure once again yesterday, though not certainly dramatic on Wall Street. This is European big cities implemented varying degrees of a lockdown to reduce the spread of the coronavirus, adding to concerns that further restrictions will infringe upon the recovery and cause more economic damage. S&P 500 fell for a third straight day this after US data showed an unexpected surge in jobless claims. Applications for state unemployment benefit jumped last week to its highest level since August, suggesting a slowing US labour market recovery. On the corporate front, the focus this week, of course, has been on the banks. Morgan Stanley posted some positive numbers. Revenue from its capital markets business was up 22% in the third quarter. In terms of performance yesterday, Europe was difficult. Stocks 50 was down 2.5%. S&P 500 was down just 0.15% at the close. Nasdaq was down 0.5%. We are going to be in recovery mode on the European bourses at the open this morning, where we're currently calling the FTSE up 29 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 36 points. CAC in Paris up 40 points.
The ball is in your court, Mr. Johnson, says the EU.
Yeah, we've heard that before. This was supposed, of course, to be yet another deadline date that would bring the discussions to a conclusion. It was hoped, of course, that they would be reviewing the text of a UK-EU trade agreement. Certainly haven't got to that point. Boris Johnson has hinted in the past or set this sort of de facto deadline that it wouldn't be worth carrying on unless agreement had been reached. As we got to this summit, it appears that those negotiations will actually continue over the course of the next couple of weeks. As I've been saying for some time, listen, it's always going to be fraught. The chances are that it's going to be an 11th hour deal. That's what you tend to see in these big political negotiations, particularly when it comes to Europe. But nothing is taken for granted at this stage.
So you still think there's going to be a deal, do you?
I really do. I really do. I just refuse to believe when I look at the areas that are involved, the possibility for compromising those, which should be certainly possible, and what's at stake suggests to me that economic pragmatism will eventually win the day.
Of course, the car industry has been leaning on Mr. Johnson quite heavily over the last few days over this rights to export electric and hybrid vehicles with zero tariffs, which the EU has said unless 70% of the components come from one of the two areas it's not happy with.
Yeah, it's very true, isn't it? The car industry is one that's seen as particularly vulnerable to the setting up of new tariffs. If you were to charge tariffs from UK into the European Union, that would certainly make them uncompetitive. And remember, these are international businesses. They can move, they can locate, and if they don't have the ability to competitively ship their goods into the European Union, that will cause them to reduce investment and have a significant impact on the UK car industry.
Yes, he is quite a lot on its plate. What with the Brexit negotiations and now a trade confrontation with the United States over the airline industry.
Yeah, US and Europe set for this tariff showdown over plane subsidies. The US has actually offered to settle the long-running aircraft subsidy dispute with the European Union and remove tariffs on wine, whiskey and other products. but only if Airbus repays billions of dollars in state aid to European governments. The offer was apparently made by the US trade representative ahead of the WTO's releasing on Tuesday of a report authorizing Brussels to slap counter tariffs on US goods over subsidies to plane maker Boeing. The US proposal is unlikely to win support from the European Union, which looks set to ask the WTO at a meeting on the 26th of October to endorse a $4 billion EU tariffs on US goods. The imposition, of course, of US tariffs on Airbus subsidies has already started to hit European goods. What it really means is both sides are thought to be trying to strengthen their position ahead of future negotiations, but certainly an area markets will be following closely.
What do you see happening to all these trade disputes in the event of a Biden victory in the election?
A significant difference. The America First stance that President Trump has taken has been primarily revolved around, three concepts. One is reduction in tax, second is deregulation, but the third one is around his trade strategy. And it's been an aggressive approach. I think you'd see a much more multilateral approach being put in place under a Biden administration that tries to develop the global order that's developed since World War II, as opposed to fragmenting it. So I think under a second term under President Bush, you'd certainly be looking at further deglobalization, very different under a presidency of Joe Biden.
Yeah, although, I mean, the Chinese dispute in particular is not going to be easy to unravel, is it?
Not going to be easy to unravel, and the suggestion is they'll maintain that first phase of the trade agreement. But I don't think it would simply be America first. Chinese influence is not only a concern for the US, I think it goes beyond that. And trying to put together a number of governments to think about how the world is going to operate in the future will be a sensible plan to deal with some of these big issues that are set to play out on the global stage over the course of the next few years.
And further evidence of the airline industry struggling, Ryanair is cutting back services. Couldn't they have just taken one of the engines out or something?
Ryanair shares traded lower yesterday after announcing it would slash its winter schedule and cut back on its presence in several countries, blaming tougher travel restrictions, which, as you know, have hampered demand in Europe. The discount carrier will operate at 40% of 2019 winter capacity, down from the previous plan to run at 60% of normal levels. Ryanair will cut back the number of aircraft kept in the likes of Belgium, Germany, Spain and Portugal. This after bookings weakened materially for November and December. The announcement, of course, follows on from similar decisions made by the likes of EasyJet and Wizz Air. Ryanair have asked staff to go on unpaid leave and job share. In terms of share performance, all been pretty miserable, it has to be said. Back in February, shares trading around €16. This morning, they will open around €11.
What are the chances of some of these budget airlines actually going under unless the situation improves within the next 3 to 6 months?
Some of them have healthy balance sheets, the likes of EasyJet specifically. Some of them are powerhouses. The others are benefiting from state aid, and that's been perhaps a little bit controversial. It's seen as a crucial part of economy's infrastructure, so governments, I think, will do as much as they can to make sure that we don't get to that point. And the fundamental principle, I suppose, from policymakers has been that businesses that were viable before the pandemic that have been specifically impacted by the effects of COVID-19 and the associated restrictions should be viable once the pandemic is solved, and anything they can do to get them through that process, they're prepared to do. So I don't think we're at that point yet, but there's certainly stress on some of the weaker players.
But the prospects of a cheap weekend somewhere in the near future are pretty bleak, and it looks like fares are going to be hiked fairly substantially after this is all over, as airlines try and recoup some of the money.
Well, it comes down to supply and demand. Once again, it's a cutthroat, it's a competitive business. But I think actually demand would be relatively strong. There's lots of people, of course, who've missed out on travelling. People have had it a lot worse than that, has to be said. But there's no doubt that people would want to go back to travelling. And actually, even when we saw in the summer, when the restrictions were lifted, that pent-up demand was very strong. There was real hopes around the recovery. And one would suspect that will be a similar scenario as we get through this crisis. Because eventually, vaccine, as we know, will be developed. The time frame for that is uncertain. But once that comes through, many of these problems disappear. That demand will start to pick up once again. And I think the airlines should be doing much better.
Have you got Wanderlust jets? Are you dying to get back to the flesh pots of Lagos?
I would love to go to Lagos. I would love to go anywhere. I wouldn't mind a sleep on a plane, to be honest.
Why don't you go to the shops?
just to do that would be nice. I was supposed to be going to Dubai today, actually, so that's obviously not going to happen with half term. But yes, it's as I say, listen, lots of people have had it an awful lot worse than I and my family have had, and our hearts go out to them more, so perhaps we shouldn't complain too much.
Okay, yeah, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 1.29, euro dollar came in at 1.17. You're going to get 1 euro 10 cents for your British pound this morning.
Everton, Liverpool tomorrow, who's your money on?
Ooh, I saw Liverpool bouncing back after a big defeat. Did they get beat 7-2 or something last time out? That was
by
all
Aston
pretty
Villa.
Miserable. Yeah. Where is it? Is it at Liverpool?
No, it's at Goodison.
Maybe it doesn't matter so much, actually, if you don't have the fans in the stadium anymore. I'm going to go Everton.
Whoa.
Unlucky Sarah.
It's a big
Come
call.
On. Come on the toffees. Come on the toffees.
We're playing the Zed Cars music next. All right, thank you very much.
Enjoy your weekend.
Hopefully speak to you next week sometime unless you're too busy.
I'll do my very best.
Hang pots and bark.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyce has the top stories across the Riviera.
An investigation has been opened following the worrying disappearance of a 17-year-old medical student in Marseille. Ahmed Belrami has not been seen since leaving the family home to attend the Timon Medical School in Marseille on Monday morning. Described as having a pale complexion, brown hair and brown eyes, Belrami was at the time dressed in a black jacket, black trousers and trainers. Anyone with any information is asked to contact the police in Marseille. In other news, two people have been injured following an explosion at an Esso refinery lab in the Fos-sur-Mer west of Marseille on Thursday. The incident occurred shortly after 4 p.m. while an experiment was being carried out by lab technicians. A 50-year-old man was seriously injured and a 24-year-old woman suffered slight injuries. A spokesperson for Esso confirmed that it was not a gas leak and there was no impact on the population following the blast. The company is carrying out investigations to understand the exact cause of the accident. The association Secours Populaire 06 has announced the opening of two new branches in the valleys behind Nice, which were badly hit by Storm Alex. The branches are located in Saint-Martin-Vésubie and Bray-sur-Roya. A third branch is also planned in the coming weeks. Open to the public and operational, volunteers are on site proposing aid, be it food, financial or administrative. To make donations, you can visit the association's website or send it to Secours Populaire and the Alpes Maritimes, 30 Rue Bonaparte, 06300 Nice. Ryanair has announced it's to cut all flights from Nice Côte d'Azur Airport to London and Dublin for the entire winter season. The next available flights are late March next year. The airline is also to close its French base in Toulouse. Monaco's push for a carbon-free future has taken a big step with the acquisition of three new wind farms in France. It means that a quarter of the principality's consumption needs will soon be met with clean energy. The principality aims to meet its energy consumption needs 100% green electricity production by 2050. In national news, French Prime Minister Jean Castex has justified the reasons for the government's decision to impose a curfew in 9 cities across France as of Friday midnight during a press conference on Thursday afternoon. Castex called on the French to limit gatherings to 6 people in both private and public spaces and announced that all private parties and weddings held in public places are banned across the country. The Prime Minister went on to explain that the new rules in place are designed to curb the spread of COVID-19, announced by President Emmanuel Macron on Wednesday. He emphasised collective responsibility and the need for citizens to respect health restrictions. The new restrictions come as public health authorities reported a further 100 deaths in the last 24 hours and 193 people admitted to intensive care. Meanwhile, Interior Minister Gérard Damanin has said a justification letter will be required for anyone needing to stay out past the curfew with a letter from the employer if necessary, much like during the lockdown. 12,000 police officers have been designated to enforce the curfew, with people facing fines of €135 for no justification and €3,750 and prison time if caught a second time. Exceptions to the curfew would include going to work or seeking medical treatment, going to the pharmacy, to visit dependent family members, to take care of pets, or to take a train or plane which has been booked outside of the curfew hours. On the economic front, France's minister, finance minister Bruno Le Maire stated that all companies of 50 employees or less in the zones affected by the curfew would be able to claim €1,500 from the Solidarity Fund if they had lost at least 50% of their turnover. For hotels, cafes and restaurants, he said the rescue package could reach €10,000 to compensate for losses of at least 50% of revenue, a level which used to be 70%. Meanwhile, on Thursday, police searched the home of Health Minister Olivier Véran as part of an inquiry into the government's handling of the coronavirus crisis. The home of former Prime Minister Edouard Philippe and other officials were also searched. Véran is one of several current or former ministers being investigated over their response to the pandemic following complaints by victims of COVID-19 that they were slow to act. Véran's office was also searched as part of the investigation by a court that hears cases of alleged wrongdoing by ministers in the course of their duties. Officers also searched the home of the director of the National Health Agency, Jérôme Solimar. Prime Minister Jean Castex is also under investigation over the pandemic, as his predecessor Edouard Philippe and Véran's predecessor in the health ministry, Agnès Buzyn. Finally, anger has been expressed by restaurant owners at the government's imposed curfew, which will affect a third of France from this weekend. The president of the National Restaurants and Hotel Group has said that the 9 p.m. curfew is economic nonsense and a decision too close. Meanwhile, other European countries are tightening restrictions, with 9 million Londoners being banned from meeting family or friends inside, while Germany are limiting gatherings to just 25 people outside or 15 people indoors.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Cycling, there are calls for the Giro d'Italia to be halted a week early because the coronavirus bubble has been clearly compromised. The EF Pro Cycling team has written to the race organisers asking for the event to be stopped this Sunday. Cycling's governing body, the UCI, has rejected the request. Earlier this week, two teams, Mitchelton Scott and Jumbo Visma, pulled out of the race following several positive tests in their camps. The race is due to finish in Milan on October the 25th. Jonathan Narvez of Ecuador won stage 12 in wet, treacherous conditions on Thursday, with João Almeida retaining the leader's pink jersey. Football. The English Premier League is back in action this weekend. Have you been swatting up on the form?
I certainly have. They're going to be fireworks, aren't they?
Well, you know, the form is out the window after the last set of results, so we'll take a check on all those games after the latest from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. The Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp insists his players have been able to put the shock 7-2 defeat they suffered just before the international break behind them. The entire Liverpool squad was back at their training ground today for the first time since that astonishing result against Aston Villa. Most of them have been playing for their national teams all over the world in the recent international break. But Klopp told the BBC today that despite not being together, they've managed to recover from conceding 7 goals.
I got up in the morning and I knew I have to speak to my boys, but they were not here. So I texted them a long message. After that, I felt much better because then it was out. Losing a game, come on, you lose a game, it's exactly the opposite of what you want. Losing it with 7-2 makes it, of course, worse, but we have to show that more useful. We have the chance to show that on Saturday, lunchtime, against Everton. We face a team who is flying. Now let's see who deals better with what.
The Arsenal manager, Mikel Arteta, says he is hopeful that Kieran Tierney will be available to face Manchester City in the Premier League on Saturday. The defender has been isolating in Scotland after a coronavirus scare while on international duty. He spent time with his national teammate Stuart Armstrong, who tested positive last week. Arteta says clubs lose control of COVID safety during the international window.
I think we can still make things a little bit better for the future and hopefully minimize some of the errors that probably have been done, clarify certain rules, certain protocols, try to unify them to give ourselves the best possible chance to protect our players and protect the clubs as well.
Meanwhile, new signing Thomas Partey has had his first training session with Arsenal and is in contention to make his debut against City this weekend. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
So it all kicks off with a nice little appetizer tomorrow lunchtime between Everton and Liverpool.
Well, there'll be fireworks. Liverpool's aim will be to bounce back from that shocking 7-2 loss.
Klopp's pressed the reset button, hasn't he?
I like the way he said, "I woke up and the boys weren't there," as if he was expecting them to be. Anyway, I think it will probably be a draw.
I'm going for Everton, sorry.
Oh.
They're top of the league, aren't they? Flying high. Carlo Ancelotti's got them really going. Chelsea against Southampton.
Yeah, they'll build on their win from Palace, won't they?
Depends which Chelsea turns up, but I'll go for Chelsea.
I'll go for Chelsea. Mm.
Manchester City against Arsenal, that could be interesting.
I'll go for Man City.
Draw. Newcastle against Manchester United.
Newcastle.
Yes. Could that be the end of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? Let's wait and see. On Sunday, Sheffield United against Fulham. Mm.
Well, Sheffield will be looking for their first win, won't they?
Yeah, and Fulham as well. Draw. Crystal Palace against Brighton, the A23 derby.
They're both bottom of the table, aren't they?
No, Palace aren't bottom. I think Sheffield United and Fulham are right at the bottom.
Are they? I thought Palace and Brighton were.
Draw written all over it as well.
I'll go for Brighton.
Spurs against West Ham.
Oh, Tottenham. Spurs, yeah.
Yeah, and Leicester against Aston Villa. How can you call that one after Villa's last performance?
I'll go for a draw.
Well, after they banged 7 goals in against
Liverpool.
Well, Leicester
will be trying to make amends, but I'll go for a draw.
I'll have to go for Leicester there, I think, even though Aston Villa might turn something up. West Brom against Burnley on Monday.
West Brom.
Burnley. And Leeds against Wolves on Monday.
Well, that will be the most exciting game.
Why?
Oh, it just will be. Leeds and it will be. Leeds.
Dirty Leeds.
Or a draw. I can't decide.
No, it's really tricky this week, isn't it? All right, Leeds then. Rugby Union Eddie Jones has named a 26-man squad ahead of the busy autumn international schedule. The uncapped Worcester centre Ollie Lawrence is drafted in as a replacement for injured Manu Tuilagi, while the Bath pair of Tom de Glanville and Benno Urbano are also included. England play the Barbarians on October the 25th before completing their Six Nations campaign against Italy and Rome on the 31st of October. It's the final of the European Champions Cup tomorrow with Exeter meeting Racing 92 in Bristol. Kick-off at 5:45 French time tomorrow with Exeter the overwhelming favourites. And in racing, Magical and Serpentine will line up against each other in the Champions Stakes at Ascot tomorrow as part of British Champions Day. The Aidan O'Brien pair will be joined by rivals Adib and Mishraf, as well as Pile Driver. The 10th edition of Champions Day will be held behind closed doors.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster. The world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts. Beyond expectation.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Isle Maritime in the Var, the general situation is a depression 1,007 millibars over Corsica. Winds are variable, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibleness is good. Barometric pressure at Saint Jean Cap Ferrat 1,005 millibars. Then the outlook for Saturday, clear skies, force 2 to 4 variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 3 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,006 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, clear skies, force 3 to 5 westerly winds, slight to moderate seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts, beyond expectation.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat, the home closing specialist in Nice and Villefranche.
Partially cloudy today, light variable winds, top temperature 18 degrees, overnight lows 13 degrees on the coast, 9 degrees inland with clear skies. The weekend mainly fine, highs of 18 or 19 degrees.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat Nice and Villefranche, for 30 years specialising in home closures, windows, blinds, shutters, reinforced glazing and doors. Feel good at home. Visit servibat06.fr.
Finally.
There's nothing like a good cup of tea to calm your nerves and source everything out. But
don't drink much tea these days.
Well, you should do. Tea drinking Brits, however, waste enough water to fill 28 Olympic swimming pools a day by boiling double the amount of water they really need.
Mm-hmm.
Researchers said that the 49.7 million British tea drinkers who drink an average of 4 cups a day of tea are actually boiling enough water for around 400 million drinks a day, rather than the 199.1 million they actually consume. The more water that's in a kettle, the more energy a kettle uses to bring to the boil. Therefore, people are advised to think more carefully about how much they actually need. According to the research, it revealed that overfilling the kettle, which can be a result of carelessness or uncertainty, is the top way Brits waste energy.
I'm surprised so many people don't cotton on to that, because you can cut your electricity bill down as well just by only using the amounts of water you need.
You can.
We ration it in our place.
I bet you do. You ration everything.
Measure it out by the cupful.